a part of this fellowship, we want to talk to you about how you can do that. But we want to make sure folks understand something, that around Memorial Baptist Church, we're here to meet the need of folks. And we're here to love on you. Now, we live in the information age. The internet has given us more information than we know what to do with. We got more information about more things, and in all this information, it's telling us how to handle and how to do everything you could possibly do. So my question this morning is this. With all this information, why do we still stink at marriage? It's not like we don't have enough information. And for the last several weeks, I've been giving you more information than you can live up to. I was preaching one time, and I had to stop, and I looked at this church. I said, I'm just going to quit right now, because I've already given you more than you can ever live up to. And it was just one of those times where I felt like they weren't listening, and if they're not listening, you send them home. Amen. Now, we don't have much nerve to do that anymore. So, as I was looking at this week, we're looking at the home, and we found out some things about the home. We found that it's not a Christian marriage just because you've been married in a church. Agreed? Remember what I told young people? It's like saying I was born in a garage, so I must be a car. For some of you guys, you front row guys here, it's like saying, hey, look, I got athlete's feet. I must be like an athlete. No, just because you have athlete's feet doesn't mean you're an athlete. And so we're finding out about marriage, and that the biblical principles of marriage that God has set up are the only way we're going to be able to pull this thing called marriage off. And so I'm going to camp out on this again today, and then next week I'm going to camp out on it again, because I'm going to talk next week about what are the seven greatest needs of the husband, what are the seven greatest needs of a wife, and who cares? Because it's just more what? Information, unless we're going to take that information and apply it into our homes. And so I'm going to show you next week what right you even have to have a need. I'm going to show you what right you even have to have a need. Then, this will be a big blessing for all of you, for many of you. Then I'm leaving for a while. I know you're thrilled about that. I'll be gone for 4 weeks because of other commitments, but I have made a commitment with your pulpit committee to stay at least till the end of March, and so I'll be gone all of February, except for next week, 3 weeks in February, and then there'll be 1 week in March I will not be here, but you have a missionary who's going to come in. You have a big missions conference. Gordon Fort will be preaching. I want to tell you, don't miss that. Gordon Fort walks with God. I know this boy. And he is going to fire you up. Now, the 3 weeks I'm not here, Terry Ewing will be preaching. And he is a Christian counselor from Tulsa. He's not just a friend. Folks, he is this deep spiritually. This is a deep boy. And he's going to be one of these folks that's going to come in. And I've been explaining to you all, you know, Brother Harry is an earthquaker. Terry is a Quaker. That didn't mean he's literally a Quaker. It means he's kind of a quiet guy, which is almost everybody else that's compared to me. Now, And so in all this, Terry's going to come in, and he's excited about what he's going to share with you, and I want you to listen to him, because when I want to know what God is up to, Terry is a 40-year-old man that I go to, and he's one of the guys I pick his brain about what does God have to say, and God has used him in my life, and I just love the guy, and I know you're going to love him too. So while I'm not here those 3 weeks, you better treat him like you would treat me. Well, no, don't do that. I want you to really treat him nice and treat him with respect and love on him, because he's going to come and he's really going to bless you those 3 weeks. And then I'll come back in March and finish up what I believe God has given me to share with you all. And we'll keep praying for your pulpit committee. By then, maybe they'll have someone decent to come in here and preach and you'll be able to move on. Amen? Now, take your Bibles this morning and turn to me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, while you're turning, let me share some things with you. Marriage is a lot of work. And you all said? Marriage is a lot of work. It's not easy. And watch this. It's not for cowards. If you're a coward, I'd never get married. It's not easy. Now, let me share this with you. Our day jobs get all our energy, and our marriage and our homes get all our leftovers. Let me say that again. Look at me. Hold your Bibles and look at me. Our day jobs get all of our energy, and our homes and our marriages marriages get all our leftovers. We come home, we're all tired. Mom works, dad works, and even if mom's been home with kids all day long, that's a lot of work. And so you come home, and at night, we should have this great time together as a family. It should be this family thing. But what it gets down to is, out there during the day, everybody gets my best. But when I come home, everybody gets leftovers. And in our leftovers, suddenly, we've become indifferent to this thing of marriage. Now, Peter was married. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Jesus healed his mother-in-law, and it says so in Scripture. Which, so if you're a Catholic in here today, I'm not trying to bust your bubble, but if you think he was the first pope and you can't be a pope and be married, I'm going to blow that out of the water. He was married. He had a mother-in-law, and so you had to be married to have a mother-in-law. Agreed. He also had an attitude problem. I can only assume it's because of his mother-in-law. I don't know. I know he was married. I know he had a mother-in-law. And in Scripture, we see Peter had an attitude problem. But watch this. Here's Peter with an attitude problem, and yet it's Peter who's going to talk to us about marriage today. You know, it sounds like an oxymoron. Here's someone with an attitude problem who's going to come and talk to us about what it means to be married, which tells us something. He got over his attitude problem, didn't he? And he got over the struggles. 1 Peter, now, follow me on the screen. I know your Bibles are not going to be reading like mine. I spend my time in my quiet times out of the Amplified. It's just my preference. And I saw some things in the Amplified in this Scripture that I wanted you to see. So follow the screen. Follow me with the Amplified Bible. Here's what the Bible says. In like manner. Stop. In like manner. Let's stop right there. It's kind of like therefore. Remember what I told you? Whenever you see the word therefore in Scripture, see what it's there for. It's there for a reason. In like manner. So if he's saying in like manner, he's talking about something that came before. So I'm going to back you up to chapter 2. Listen to me what he says here. For Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example so that you should follow his footsteps. He was guilty of no sin, neither was deceit or guile ever found in his lips. When he was reviled or insulted, he did not revile or offer insult in return. When he was abused, he suffered. He made no threats of vengeance, but he trusted himself and everything to who judges fairly. He personally bore our sin on his own body in the tree, as on the altar he offered himself, that we might die, cease to exist, to sin, and live to righteousness. So what he's saying is, in like manner, Jesus is dying on this cross so that you and I would cease from sin. In like manner. Now he's moving over to the family. In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands, and that means subordinate yourself as becoming secondary to and dependent on them and adapt yourselves to them. That's what it means. And it goes on to say, so that even if any of you do not obey the word of God, they may be won over, not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives. So he's saying is, in like manner, you women, you're not going to change this boy by beating him to death with your words, but it will be your Christ-like. Go back to chapter 2. Look what he did. When he was reviled, he didn't revile again. When he was abused, he didn't abuse back. Go back to what you've learned here. Be like Christ, and God will change this boy, not by your constant words, but by your Christ-like and godly behavior. Now, verse 7, in the same way, in like manner, in the same way, you married men should live considerately with your wives with an intelligent recognition. Now, that's kind of tough for some of us. With an intelligent recognition. So here's what he's saying. In like manner, Christ used his noodle when it came to dealing with people. Hey, husbands, here's what he's telling you. In dealing with your wives, smarten up. Smarten up here. Think about this. Smarten up. Because what he goes on to say, recognizing that the marriage relationship, honoring the woman as physically weaker, but realizing that you are joint heirs. You're what? Say it. All together. Joint heirs of the grace of God, God's unmerited favor, in order that your prayers may not be hindered, so that your prayers won't be hindered. matters, guys, in dealing with your wives, we've already learned, it's not me, man, you, woman, you got to do what I say. It's we submit and we obey each other and God. That's it. You got to submit one to another as you both submit to God. And that's what God's teaching us here. Now, as the man, the wife is to come under me. Now, I want to make an amazing statement here to start off with, because as you all have, I mean, you got this figured out after 3 months. I am here to cut right to the chase scene. So let me just cut to the chase scene and get right to where I want to go. Here it is. You're called to imitate Jesus. There's no shortcut to the Christian life. It is time for us to quit imitating the world and getting our standards from Hollywood instead of from heaven. It is time for us in homes and marriages to quit giving our mates and our children our leftovers. It is time for us in our homes and our marriages to quit letting Hollywood tell us how to do marriage and let heaven tell us how to do marriage. Now, young people, at 6:30, you turn on E.T., and Hollywood just comes to life and wants to tell you, and they want to make everything look like so glamorous. What would you three know about glamour? Now, we're going to get to glamour in just a second. Hang with me. Wives. Two times he says, wives, be submissive. The word is subjection. It's a military term. It means to place under rank. God has place and order, ladies. And here is the order. You are to come under your husband so that you might what? Lift him up. Say that with me. I come under that I might lift him up. I cannot stand over him like the angel of death thinking my words are going to whip this boy into shape. God says that's not the order I gave you. That's not the way I gave you. In like manner, you are to act like Jesus Christ, and you are not going to whip that boy into shape with your words. Amen. You're not going to whip him into shape. Now, it also means there's nothing degrading about submitting to authority or accepting God's order. But here's what society says. And have you noticed that the women's liber in the last 10 years have really had to take a back seat now? Because they're finding out there's more divorces, there are more homes shattered today, because this order that the world gives you, Hollywood's version of, hey, I don't have to submit to anybody, or, hey, I'm the man, you got to do what I say, neither one work. And that's Hollywood. And neither one are going to work. But in like manner, if you will act like Jesus Christ, you're going to find the pathway of bringing God joy, bringing your mate joy, bringing God joy, bringing my husband and wife joy, is going to be the pattern that you find all the joy you could ever hope to find in marriage. And it's not about what you get. It's about what you're giving away. And that's where we mess up. Hollywood is not about giving away. It's about what? Getting. Heaven isn't about getting, it's about giving away. And so in our lives, we come to this place where husbands and wives must be partners, not competitors. And we spend all our time as competitors, competing for who's calling the shots at home, or who's in control, or who's in charge, or who's the boss, or who's not the boss, or who's, you know, it's all about me, 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 me. But it's not mine and yours. This marriage is ours. And it ought to be a marriage we're giving our best to, not our leftovers to. We clear on this so far? You with me? I ought to be giving my best, not my leftovers. Now, this doesn't work in my house. I don't mind preaching this, but it doesn't work in my house because in my house it's different. You say, how's it different? Lynette made it clear to me. She said, when we got married, what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. And you know what? She's right. What's mine is hers, and what's mine is hers. And what's hers is hers. But see, what we're learning at home, at our home, it's not yours and mine. It's ours. And we're not in competition here. We're partners. We're not competitors. We're partners. And we have to partner together. Because if we don't, marriage will move from headlock to deadlock. And that's the title of this morning's message. Are you living in wedlock or deadlock? And you're going to be in one of those two places. We're either going to be partners or we're going to live in constant deadlock. Now, one of the things that I always like to do, and you've figured this out by now, when I'm preaching, especially when I have a subject where I'm preaching to moms and dads, young people, I didn't want to leave you out, and so I asked the Lord to give me something for you today. And so I've got something for you girls, and then I got something for you guys. You girls, watch this. Imitating the world is not the pathway to finding a real man. E.T. in Hollywood isn't going to help you find a real man. Finding the guy who's going to meet every need in your life as a woman when you get old enough to marry, which by for some of you girls, by the way, is 25 to 45. You're not to marry before that. That you're going to have to sometimes understand that the world is trying to wow us with glamour. So here's glamour. It's artificial and external, but beauty is real and internal. Glamour. Beauty comes from the inside out instead of the outside in. See, glamour says you got to look good on the outside. Heaven says you got to look good on the inside. See, Hollywood says glamour is something you put on and take off. But God says that true beauty is always real and it's always present. Glamour is corruptible, young girls. It's corruptible. It decays and fades. Why? True beauty comes from the heart. And as you grow, you cultivate this inner Christ in you. And that is the beauty of heaven. And that is the beauty that's going to draw a man to you someday. Because godly men look on the heart, not on the outward appearance. And what matters to God today is simply this. God is concerned about values, not valuables. But our society today, and especially for you older ladies, the society's got you so faked out that if you don't think you got the right valuables, you're not value. You have no value. We got to take this home thing out of Hollywood and we got to bring it back to heaven and we got to understand my value is by what God says I am, not what that mirror says I am. Now, y'all getting this so far? I thought because I only got 2 weeks left before I'll be gone, I thought I'd pull a few sugar sticks out for you. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. There are four truths I want you to see here. Ladies, number one, the roles of the wife are not conditional on the husband's behavior. The role of the wife is not conditional on the husband's behavior. This, not all husbands play fair. I'm giving you a chance here, ladies. Not all husbands play fair. Amen. Some of them don't play fair. The passage is written to whose wives are husbands are disobedient to the word. They're going their own way. They have non-caring attitudes and they fall short of God's standards. This passage is for you women who have pitiful husbands. And God says, if you have one of these pitiful husbands, you're going to win them without a word. By your Christ-like behavior. You're not going to shame them or guilt them into being. Now, call to submit without a word. That doesn't mean as a woman you cannot express your opinion. But if what you're doing in expressing your opinion is making them more of the problem than it is the solution, then you are not trusting God here. You have declared your declaration of independence from God, and you're saying whether God moves or not, this girl is going to hound this dog until it hunts. Now, number two, don't substitute secret manipulation for a quiet spirit. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. Well, okay, if you want to be unchristlike, that's okay. But you're not half the man your mother was. That's a manipulating spirit. Now, all of a sudden, what you're saying is, he's not doing what I want, so now he's the one losing his temper out of control, and I'm going to stay sweet and in control, and all my words will be targeted and used effectively to bring this boy right back to the human nature of humbling himself before the mighty hand of me. Now, when I use this scheme, pouting, sulking, scheming, bargaining, bargaining, do the math on that one, ladies. Nagging, preaching, coercing, and humiliating him. Wives who use this strategy are not trusting God to change their husbands. They are trusting themselves. You want to handle this on your own? God will let you. You want to win here? You win by losing, and you lose by saying, I will win here with a Christ-like spirit without nagging and sharing a word. Now, nagging. Nagging, ma'am, is when you are reminding me of something you know I have not forgotten. If you are reminding me of something you know I have not forgotten, you are a nag. But it says, live with your wife, man, is in an intelligent way. If she's got to tell you 15 times to take the trash out, ready? Here's the Greek word. Duh. Smarten up. Smarten up. Understand her. Now, the Bible goes on to teach us, you're not responsible for your husband's life. What's the goal, ladies? Tell me. You're not convinced of that. Tell me again. I have to understand my responsibility is to love my husband. God's job is to change the husband. Put away your cookie cutter. I shared this with the couples. That first year, I felt like Lynette had her little cookie cutter out, and she was cutting me and pasting me. And I looked at her one day, and I said, I hope when you're done with your cookie cutter, you've made something that you're happy with, because, lady, you're making me miserable. Your job is not to change your husband and whip him into shape. Submission is a mark of security and faith. As a husband observes his wife's godly behavior, as he observes the wife's godly behavior, he will eventually soften to spiritual things. And I want to tell you, when Peter tells you this, and here's Peter, who had an attitude problem, he said, I want to tell you, don't use your words thinking you're going to whip somebody into shape. I tried it. It doesn't work, and it's not going to work in your marriage. Because in time, if you're always coming to me, and I do 10 things, 8 right and 2 wrong, and lady, you're focusing on just the 2 things I did wrong, in time, I'm going to quit what? I'm not going to listen to you. And you're going to lose your ability to influence me as a man. Now, what are the roles of the husband? Peter devotes a lot of time in this passage dealing with wives more than he does husbands. Why? They need more help, obviously. No. Because they're all going to grow up to be mother-in-laws one day. No. That's close, though. He's doing it because, ladies, understand the context here. At this point in time, women had absolutely no freedom at all. They were just luggage. And now suddenly God is giving them not only salvation, he's giving them freedom of what it means to be a free person who is free in Christ and free in your home. And so the woman had to be trained here because up to this point, she didn't get to say a word about anything. So there's a change going on here. And so Peter is taking more time. And he's sharing that the wives experienced a whole new situation. They were kept down and had no freedom. But now the Christian woman, now that she knows what her roles are, has great freedom in Christ. And lady, if you think being submissive robs you of your freedom, you don't understand what God's teaching you about this, because you got more freedom when you can come under me and pick me up than you do standing over me. Now, husbands, give me the facts, I'll solve it. Give me the problem, I'll fix it. Aren't we? Give me the facts, I'll fix it. Married to thinker, feelers, wanters. Let me say that again, so those of you catching back up. Here's the man, give me the issue, give me the facts, I'll fix it. Married to thinker, feeler, wanter. So he says that you have to come to a place where You spend your whole day solving everybody else's problems, and then, sir, you come home and you neglect the problems and need of your mate and children. Hey, guys, what did I tell you last week? Men today spend an average of 37.2 seconds of quality time with their kids. 37.2 seconds. And we go out to the world, man, and we're giving the world our best, and we come home and we give our mate and we give our kids our leftovers. Don't we, men? Yes, we do. Because we're tired, and we come in, and we don't want any more conflict. I've been solving problems all day long, okay? Let me show you how to fix this. From now on, when you come home, you are on the clock till 8:30. You can't punch out till 8:30. That means when you come home at 6, well, some of you guys say, well, I ain't getting home till 25 after 8 then, man. I got this figured. You come home at 6 o'clock, I'm on the clock till 8:30. That means my role and responsibility is to not give my husband or my wife and kids my leftovers, but for the next 2.5 hours, I'm going to give them the time and the attention they need, because that's what the leader and the head does. He trains up the rest of the body to function. That's what he does. That's our role. That's our job. We're to come home. So now, at 8:30, though, ladies, watch this. I'm going to the zone. I'm going to the hairy zone. I lay on my bed. I have the clicker. Don't come near me. I'll gun you down. I'll lay there and go to the hairy zone. Now, you women also have a zone, too. Yours comes at about 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. You go into this small room. You got this big bucket. You fill it with water. You get in it. You lay there. Men, don't go in there. It is not safe for you in there. They are in the zone. Stay there. Let them soak their day away. Leave them alone. Don't go in there and ask where your shirt is or wherever. Don't go in there. It is not safe. The Bible tells you, use some sense here. The husband ought to be the thermostat. He sets the emotional and spiritual temperature. The wife ought to be the thermometer. She lets you know what the temperature is. Now, in our relationships, it says, you men likewise live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she's a woman. Now, that weaker vessel thing is really talking about the difference in physical strength. Doesn't mean like I'm smarter than you. It doesn't mean like I know more than you. That's not what it's talking about at all. Now, grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, guys, get this. Satan will be more than happy to help you get answers to everything you want outside of the will of God. And today, men, because we're not the leaders of our home, we're not doing the things we need to do, we have allowed the enemy to come in, and he is beating the fire out of our families, and we do nothing about it. And you say, well, my prayers are being answered. I got a job that keeps me out till 10 o'clock at night. Satan will give you anything you want as long as it's going to keep you outside of the will of God. He'll give you what you ask for, because he knows something. Your pleasure today will be trouble tomorrow, and that's what he's hoping for. Now, live with your wife. Here's what that means. It means dwell together with her, not just under the same roof. It means a close togetherness. Now, when you dated, you were courteous, thoughtful, you shared your thoughts and feelings. You say, well, of course we did. She cared then. She thought I was something else. So now we're back to the two basic needs. The basic need of a woman is for you, the man, to sit down, look her in the face, and what? Say it. The greatest need of the man is for you to come alongside and what? Praise him. Well, when you dated, you praised him. And somewhere along the way, the reason we got information but no action is, somewhere along the way, you've quit listening, buddy, and lady, you quit praising. And now when I come into the house, I can't give you a close togetherness, and here's why. I'm not going to tell you what's going on inside my world if when I do, you stand there and tell me to David Letterman 10 things I should do today to make this perfect and fix it. Lady, sometimes I just need you to listen to me. Don't fix me. If I come home and I start popping off about my day, let me pop off. Come under me, lift me up, and point me to Christ's likeness. Don't fix me. In the same way, guys, you have got to let your wife know what you're thinking and feeling. And when you let her know what's going on in your world, you've got a happy, secure camper. Because she just wants to know, not only do you understand her, but she wants to be able to understand you. So you've got to let her know what's going on inside of you. Now, you've got to see her makeup. You've got to come to the place where you, number two, know your wife. That means live with her in an understanding way. What is the greatest need in communication? We have to what? Understand each other. Now, he's saying, use some smarts here, guys. If you have a thinker, feeler, and wanter, and you're married to this thinker, feeler, and wanter, and her greatest need is understanding, then you have got to understand her. Don't react to her. Don't get mad at her because she doesn't think what you think. Because if you do that, life's still about what? Instead of who? God. Now, know how she's put together. Know her strengths and weaknesses. Rely on her strengths. Help her with her weaknesses. This takes, ready? Time. This takes listening. This takes paying attention. Now, I want to stop there. Listening and paying attention are not the same thing. I can sit down with Lynette and watch 5 John Wayne movies, 2 football games, tell her everything she said, never paid attention to a word she said. Because we're different, aren't we, guys? We can do more than one thing at a time. Now, thank you. I thought that snuck by you. Now, I have got to do some things if I'm going to meet my wife's needs. I got to be considerate. I got to pray for insight. I got to adapt to her needs. I got to be considerate. I got to be courteous. I got to be compassionate. Say those 3 with me, man, all together. I got to be what? Considerate, courteous, compassionate. Guys, watch your tones with your wives. Now, how many of y'all, since we've been camping out on this for the last 3 or 4 weeks, how many of y'all have noticed a difference in your home in the way you use tones? How many of y'all, it's been a positive thing? Are you at least aware of it now? Are you aware now that your tones are bad? Now, the results of this, when you know your wife, is intimacy, romance, and respect. Now, let me tell you what I mean by this. That first year of marriage, and we shared with you how tough that was for us, had Lynette cut me off romantically, I wouldn't have cared. Because things are so bad, who cared? But you know what really hurt my heart? That first year, I lost her respect. And when I saw I lost her respect, that wounded my heart. And I wanted her respect more than I wanted romance. And I had to take the next several years to build back a respect with my wife to where now my wife respects me because I'm being what God set me apart to be, the leader of my home, and she has respect for me. Now, ladies, would you like to jab a straight stick into my eye? Here's how to do it. Just come home and say, well, I just don't respect you. And when you do that, you're using it as a tool to manipulate a husband because you're attacking him where you know it's going to wound him the most. I don't respect you will ruin me and attack me more than any other thing. And I want to tell you, I believe it's a manipulating tool. In the same way, men, when I come home and I am not listening with my eyes and my ears and my heart to my mate, it's like driving a stake in their heart that says what you have to say isn't important anymore and I don't care. It's the same thing. Y'all getting this? Now watch this. You're to honor your wife. That means you have to see her as precious, valuable, costly, pricey, priceless, pricey. Priceless. Although some are pricey, aren't they? You have to assign them top priority in your schedule relationship in your heart. Guys, watch me. She's got to have top priority in your heart, in your relationship, in your schedule. And when she does, she'll want to come unto you to lift you up. Honor her as the weaker vessel. That means the weaker vessel is more tenderly treated and it has to be cared for more than any other vessel. Now, these are not some suggestions from Peter to give you more information about how you should do marriage. He's giving you the answer here. He's giving you the answer. So, what I'd like us to do in our last few minutes is I want to do a little spiritual inventory of our home. I want to do a little spiritual inventory. Let's see how we're doing in this home thing. Number one, look at the spiritual inventory. Let's pull that up right now. Number one, are you partners or competitors? Answer that question in your heart. Are you really partners or are you competitors? Are you working against each other or are you working together with each other? Are you coming under and lifting up, and are you leading with a tender, gentle heart? Are you partners? Are you competitors? Number two, are you helping each other to Christ-likeness, or are you just critical when the other one isn't? See, anybody can point out what's wrong. It'd be like someone coming after the sermon and say, well, I want to tell you, there was one thing you said in this sermon. Okay, was there anything I said that was good? Well, I don't know. I didn't get any of that because I was focusing on that thing you said that bugged me, and I wasn't able to listen the rest of the day. Well, duh. If all you can be is critical, watch this, that's just as bad. That's just as bad. Now, number three, are you focused on the externals or are you dependent on the eternals? Are you simply focused on what's going on in your circumstances, or are you seeing your circumstances coming from the hand of God to make you like the Son of God? Are you looking to Hollywood or are you looking to heaven? Where are you looking? Here's the next one. Number four. Are you learning to understand each other better, or are you fleshing out on each other with your tones? Are we trying to gain each other's understanding? Are we listening and understanding, or are we still fleshing out? Number five. Are you sensitive to each other's thoughts and feelings, or are you just taking each other for granted? One of the greatest dangers about leftover marriages is that we take each other for granted because we just give you leftovers, because guess what? Leftovers are okay. Guys, how would you feel if every night you came home and all you ever had to eat were leftovers? Some of you say, well, that's what I get every night anyways. Well, they had to start sometime. They didn't start as leftovers. But if we're only going to give leftovers, here's the next one. I'm out of time. Number six, are you seeing God answer your prayers, or are you too busy focusing on your circumstances to pray? Is God answering your prayers, or are you spending all your time focusing on your problems? Are you helping God and asking God how to be the solution, or are you seeing everything as the problem? Number seven, are you receiving joy from God as you give joy to your mate, or are you still focused on what you're not getting? Are you bringing God joy and your mate joy, or are you still camped out on what you're not getting? Number eight, are you enriching the marriage through Christ-likeness, or are you robbing the marriage with self-gratification? Number nine, it's not on there, but I just added it. Are you ready for me to stop meddling with your marriage and move on? Have you gotten it yet? Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they saw themselves for what they were, and they were naked. And they hid from God. In our homes today, we're still hiding from God. We hide behind smiles. We hide behind hurt feelings. We hide behind marriage. And we hide behind children. And we end up our marriages not in wedlock. We end up in deadlock, which leads to hemlock. And deadlock says, pretend that something doesn't bother me when it really does. That's deadlock. Deadlock is when we pretend to agree when we really don't. That's a deadlock. A deadlock is we pretend we don't care when we really do. And in our homes today, we spend a lot of time pretending like this stuff doesn't bother us, and it really does. And my challenge to you this morning is very simple. It ought to be wedlock, not deadlock. And it ought to be fresh and exciting, not leftovers. And this is going to take time and understanding and love and grace and mercy and a little dying. In like manner, he went to the cross and he died so that we no longer have to be held captive by sin. And the bottom line in our marriage is if we're living in deadlock is because we just simply choose to live in indifference and sin. Don't we? But in like manner, Jesus didn't crawl off the altar just because it got tough. And I want to challenge you all as husbands and wives and young people. Guys, I got some stuff for you. And I almost forgot you. Lose the macho guy image. It doesn't work. Number two, quit being a slob at the house. I don't know who trained you to do that, but don't be like that. And I'll tell you a third thing. Watch this one, guys. Ready? You better learn how to love and respect your mother right now, because it'll be the same way you treat your wife. And if you cannot love and respect your mother and talk to your mother the way Christ would talk, I want to tell you right now, your problem isn't between you and your mom. Your problem is between you and God. And you ought to look at the way you even talk to your mom, because it's exactly how you're going to talk later on. And we've trained them, Dad. We've trained them. Amen. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we want to tell you that you have no hope apart from Jesus, and we love you, and we're hoping that today you'll come to that place and you'll come to your senses and say, I want the Son of God living in my heart. And if you're here today and you know today that you're not giving anything but leftovers in your marriage, I pray that you crawl out of here today and you go home and lay on your bed and have a good talk with God. Amen? But in a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to have our invitation time. And this morning, the staff will be here. And if you want to know how to join the church or you want to know how to invite Christ in your heart, we're here for you. Those of you who are guests, I'm a long preacher, short invitation giver. If God's speaking to your heart, we're going to stand together right now as we pray. And you come. The altar's open for you. God, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today and that you'll love us now. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Sing this with us and call me God.